Last week, those we here heard what happened at the triumphant entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem, and you were encouraged to envision yourself as part of that crowd praising Jesus. Well, today's sermon, I'd like you to just to imagine yourself before the cross as well. As we stand there for about 3 hours and witness our Savior dying for us, we will be reflecting on what happened at that time. But before we do so, let's just pray together once again. Father God, as we find ourselves in this crowd today, I pray that you will just lead us in understanding what the death of Jesus means to us all, that we will grasp the greatness of that moment, those couple of hours when Jesus laid down his life for us. So I pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to be with us today and now as we reflect on what happened. Amen. We are going to focus on the words of Christ on the cross today, which is well known as the seven words of Jesus on the cross. But just thinking about the cross and what happened that day, one person, Herbert Lockyer, actually said that at the rugged cross, we see man at his worst, but God at his best. So in some way, we see both these sides on the cross as well, and we see the greatness of our Savior on the cross. The cross is such a great symbol for us as a church, us as Christians. It symbolizes everything Jesus did for us, highlighted as he laid down his life on the cross for us. But it covers everything he did for us. His coming, his death, every single thing he said is bound together in this great symbol. Today, as we look at him on the cross, we hear him speak seven times. Now you might know as well that the last time people speak is normally seen as something very important. Those last words that you say are the last things you can pass on. So in some way, the words that Jesus said on the cross has great impact and great importance for us as well. So we're going to listen to these seven words that he spoke today, and we'll just briefly reflect on each of them. So Jesus spoke a first time and said this:
Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.
The first time he spoke, it was all about forgiveness. And I guess for us as well, forgiveness is at the center of what we need. It's the longing that all of us have as well. They say that it's second in our list for things that we desire. We all desire to be loved and loved, but also we all desire forgiveness. And we need forgiveness. Because of our sin, there's this great divide between us and God. And we can never be close to God on our own merit. The only way we can get close to God once again is if there's a bridge between us and God. And that bridge is forgiveness. That bridge is what Jesus brought to us. And as he is crucified and he starts to speak, the first thing he prays for is forgiveness for us. He would have looked down on the crowd. He would have seen the Roman soldiers, the ones who actually nailed him to the cross. He would have seen those shouting out for his death. He would have seen the Jews smiling and grinning as they were responsible for his death in some way too. Didn't want him around. But as he prayed, Father, forgive them, those words were not just for those he could see, but it's also for us today. Because the sin that we do is also separating us from God. And so therefore our Savior cries out for forgiveness for us as well. Oh, how we long for that bridge and to be forgiven, to be close to God. I remember a well-known writer, Max Lucado. I'm looking forward to the day when I can say, well, a well-known writer in our own midst said this or that. But today, let me tell you what Max Lucado said. He talks about his daughter, and I think her name was Jenny or Jenna, and she was 4 years old. And he tells the story of how she came to him and admitted that she wrote on the wall with crayons. And so he thought, well, this is a great teaching moment. So he took her and put her on his lap and started talking with her and said to her, now, was this a good thing you did? And she said, no. And so he said to her, well, what does Dad do when you do something that naughty? And so she answered, well, you'd punish me. And so he asked her, well, okay, so what do you think Dad needs to do now? And she looked at him and said, well, give me a hug and just love me. And in some way, I think that is what we long for and find with God as well. You see, we all deserve to be punished. But how we long to sit on His lap and just be loved by Him. And the greatness of what Jesus did for us is that we can get that, and that we have that. That is what forgiveness brings to us. That moment when He cried out and prayed for forgiveness for us all, the bridge was built and we could sit on God's lap and just receive His love and His grace, no matter what we did. The second time, Jesus spoke and He said this, and He will say it soon.
I tell you the truth. Today, you will be in paradise with me.
See, as Jesus was crucified, He wasn't all by Himself. You might recall the story that He was crucified between two criminals, two murderers, two vile offenders. And as He was crucified and was dying between these two men, one of them cried out to Jesus and just said, think of me when you are in heaven. And it's as if this man was only crying out for a few crumbles of bread, like a beggar just begging for just something to eat. And what he got wasn't just crumbles of bread, he got the whole bakery. Because Jesus turned to him and said that he would be saved. He would receive salvation just like anyone else receives salvation if we only believe in Him. If we have faith in our hearts, then we receive the fullness of salvation. See, salvation was for all. And at that moment, we can all see that as Jesus turns to him as well and tells him that he would also receive salvation and be in heaven with him on that same day. You know, we actually sang about this this morning when we started the service with the first hymn we sang, "To God Be the Glory." And some of those words were, "The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives." Now if that person could be saved by Jesus, if only faith saves you, and even that criminal, that murderer, could receive salvation from Jesus, surely there's hope for someone like me and like you. What a great comfort to know this and to hear this. No matter your sin, no matter what you do, no matter how you think this divide or great this divide is between you and God, we hear this assurance in the second words of Jesus saying that if you believe, on the same day you die, you'll be with Him again. Romans 10 verse 11 says, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. If you lift your heart to God, if you open yourself up to him, if you believe in him and would cry to him for the crumbs of salvation, he gives you it all. A great comfort to hear these second words. A third time he speaks.
Dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother.
As Jesus looked down on the people and the crowd before him, he could also see some who were his disciples, who were there because they loved him and followed him. He could see his mother, Mary. He could see his friend, John. And as he turns to them, he says to John, here's your mother, and to Mary, here's your son. Because you see, at the cross, Jesus binds us together. We become brothers and sisters because of our faith in him. We become part of his body. We become part of his people. John and Mary needed to understand that because of him and his life that he lays laying down the cross, they are now bound together for all eternity as well. They are bound as a new found Christian family. We need one another in that regard. We are here today as a mix of people who go to our 6:30 service, our 10:30 service, our 8:30 service, people who are just visiting, people who are friends perhaps, people who've never been here before. But if you have faith in Jesus, we are bound together. And we need one another. You might be looking at someone today and even in this crowd that you know, and you're thinking, oh, I don't get along with that person that well, or I don't agree with all that he or she says. But we are part of that unity in Christ. And as we seek to grow in our faith this year, we also will be growing that unity and growing in our relationship with one another, which we find in Jesus. Now let me tell you another, as I'm talking about little kids today and mentioned that before, I'll tell you another little story of a little boy, I think it was. I read the story a long time ago. And so he was drawing a picture in class. This was kindy, so kind of hard to exactly see what they draw at that stage, I guess. But he was drawing a picture, and so the teacher walked up to him and said, well, hello, little Leon. what's that picture you are drawing? And he answered and said, well, it's a picture of God. And the teacher kind of said, well, no one actually knows what God looks like. And so little Leon answered and said, yeah, but once I finish the picture, they will know how he looks. and that's what I think is happening with us as well as we live it our Christian lives and as a Christian family. The more we obey God's calling, the more we become what he wants us to be, the more we are bound to one another, the more we actually make God known as well and people are able to see him in us. So remember these third words as well of Jesus binding his loved ones together. And then he cries out a fourth time.
Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani.
These are words in Aramaic, which is like Hebrew. And all the Jews there wouldn't understand what he was saying. Some of them were mocking him and saying, yeah, look at that. He's calling out to Elijah. But he wasn't. The words he was saying meant, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was alone at that moment, and he was alone because he was laying down his life and suffering for our sake. See, it reminded me of the words of Isaiah 59. This is 1 and 2 as well, where it says this. Surely the arm of God is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. And verse 2, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. And I think what is happening here is that these two verses in Jesus are actually turned around. We find, first of all, that our sin is separating us from God, and that is what Jesus is facing. And the comfort we find is the arm of God is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. God is there. God is accepting what Jesus is doing. But at that moment, Jesus is facing all of the wrath of God, the anger of God. And he cries out in our place, my God, why have you forsaken me? The comfort in those words is because Jesus was forsaken by God, because he cried these words out, our comfort is that we never need to cry those words out at all. God will never forsake us. God will never leave us alone. God will always be there for us. He even gives us his Holy Spirit to live in our hearts, so that every single moment, by the grace of God through Jesus, we will have God with us. The fifth time he speaks,
I am thirsty.
It's the high point of his suffering. Now, dying on a cross doesn't happen instantly. He suffered for hours. At the same time that we are sitting here of the day, sunlight on his body, drying, dehydrating his body out. His body inflamed, his body paining, suffering from every single part of his being. And so when he cries out, I am thirsty, we hear the man, Jesus, suffering for our sake. As I hear these words, I recall my own sin, my own damnation. I think about the fact that it should have been me, that I deserved what he is going through. But he's there on my part. He's there because he loves me. He's going through the suffering and he's crying out, I am thirsty, so that we might know that in him we have living waters. We have a fountain of living waters. If we turn to him, we will never thirst, God says. What a love he displays as he suffers in our place. The sixth time he speaks,
it is finished.
It is finished, he says. In the Hebrew, it's one word. Tetelestai. He cries out. It is done. It is finished. It is completed. And in those words, he paid our debt in full. You see, this word's also a financial term. When you pay for something and you get that final invoice with a great big stamp on it saying paid or paid in full, this is the meaning of tetelestai. Paid in full. No matter who you are, no matter how big your bill was, your debt to God, Christ is saying on the cross, it is finished. It is accomplished. It is paid in full. And not just in general, but for each one of us once again. You see, as you hear these words today, you should be thinking about the debt that you have towards God. All the things that you and I do wrong. And as we see and hear Christ crying out these words, he's saying, for my sake and for your sake, it is paid. It is finished. It's done. You have a clean slate before God. The last words he utters,
Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
It's wonderful to note that. The The first time he spoke on the cross, he also called out to God as Father. Father, forgive them. And now in his final words, he once again cries out to God as Father. But here it means that all is good. All is forgiven. He's one with God. He's one with the Father. The relationship has been restored. In some ways, I think this is the start of his glory. It is paid. It is full. My job, why I came, is done. And now I give my life over to God the Father. It's also good for us to see in this that no one is taking Jesus' life from him. He mentions in the word as well that he would lay down his life on his own, because of his, on his own will, for us. It's his choice to do so. And we hear this. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He is about to die for our sake. The final moment of his life before he dies happens. And he dies. But as we find ourselves in that crowd this morning, and as we hear him speak these 7 times, it's so encouraging and reassuring and comforting to actually listen to the words that he says. And it helps me to understand that I have meaning before God, that God loves me, that he's doing all of this for my sake as well, in his grace. And I hope you can hear that in the words of Jesus as well, because he's saying these words for all of us. I understand and I embrace as I hear these words that nothing can separate me from God anymore. No matter what I've done, no matter the life I live, God's grace and God's forgiveness and God's redemption is greater than any sin I can ever do. There is salvation to be found in Jesus. And I also think ahead, and as I hear these words, I'm just so encouraged, because I can actually hear God also saying to me that my death will not be the final thing that happens, that there's life in Jesus to be found. See, these words of Jesus on the cross, I think brings freedom. It brings comfort. It brings encouragement. And it certainly stirs up gratefulness and thankfulness in our hearts. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just listen to you speak on the cross again today, we thank you for these great words of comfort, of reassurance, of strength. Father God, it is a good Friday, because on this day we hear these words spoken for us as well. And we rejoice in the fact that you are thinking of us as well as you lay down your life. Lord Jesus, we thank you for not just doing the deed of dying, but also speaking these words to us. Words of great meaning and words we listen to once again today. Lord God, as we continue into this great Easter weekend, I just pray that we will remember what you did for us on this morning, and that we will receive this great gift through our faith. Lord, stir faith in our hearts. Help us embrace this gift of forgiveness. I pray that you hear this prayer today and that you continue to be with us. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.